Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Welcome to Alive to Thrive. That was When You Believe by Eddie Watkins Jr., who's my guest today. And I love that song. It might become my theme song. It just ties in all the messages and themes of Greater Good Ministry Radio and Alive to Thrive, especially about anything is possible. And my guest today is just an amazing man. I'm humbled in his presence. I actually met him through my spiritual community, the Center for Spiritual Living here in St. Louis. He's been attending and participating in music ministry through the Centers for Spiritual Living throughout the country and got started in Las Vegas and was in Seattle for a few years. However, his background has been as a bass guitar player in the Motown industry for maybe 30 years. He's been on stage with so many of the great legends of all the musicians I grew up listening to and dancing in the disco 80s. I was there with Marvin Gaye and Pointer Sisters and James Brown, Diana Ross, Herbie Hancock, Cher. I mean, the list is so long. And I just am humbled and tickled that we met through a spiritual community because I know my community has changed my life, and I'm hoping to hear about how it has changed Eddie Watkins Jr.'s life. So welcome to the program, Eddie. How are you? Are you with us? Hello? I don't know. We have a bad connection, or he can't hear me. So not sure what's going on. Eddie, can you hear me now? Okay. Well, we have a bad connection on the phone, and we are broadcasting with Eddie Watkins Jr. I'm not sure why we don't have any sound. So let's try to go back over to the dashboard. Eddie will probably call back in. We have lost connection. So let's go back to hearing his song and starting the program again. Okay, welcome back to Alive to Thrive. We had a little technical difficulty there. Eddie, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, technology is sometimes not our friend. Most often it works pretty good. Welcome to the program.
I tell you what was really weird is I could hear everything you were saying, but you couldn't hear me. That was kind of strange.
Oh,
I was starting to wonder if I really existed or not.
We're in a parallel universe. It's just to test our resolve. I really believe that when we embark on new adventures, resistance shows up, and most people just quit at that point, but we have to persevere and test our resolve. So Welcome to Alive to Thrive. We had a little introduction, so hopefully everyone heard that introduction. Now, I wanted to talk first about your early music years, and then we'll come full circle to where you are today. And you really have reinvented yourself. And my guests on Alive to Thrive are often people that have faced down tragedy, overcome illness, or reinvented themselves in some new way, especially those that are living a spiritual path and have a message to share. So you fit all of that. But in the early years, you grew up in Detroit. What age did you start playing guitar, and when did you realize you had musical talent?
Well, my grandmother actually was the one who saw that I had musical talent, I guess around the age of 7 or so. So she bought me a piano. So from the age of 8, I had started playing piano and taking piano lessons and doing the whole recital deal, you know, that kind of stuff. And but when I got into junior high, I discovered the bass. And my junior high music instructor, there were no bass guitars in the school, so I started playing stand-up bass. So I didn't even start on bass guitar. I started stand-up bass playing in orchestras and stuff, you know. And then I kind of switched over to the electric bass, and then that was it for me. I knew that that was what I was supposed to be playing.
Wow. So you're one of those special people that were just born with the gift, although it takes a lot of discipline and a lot of dedication. And so when did you get your first big break with, you know, getting sort of discovered? I mean, were you playing at clubs around Detroit, or did you hang with a lot of musicians and just knew them as, you know, friends and family? Or, I mean, how did you break in?
No, actually, you know, one of the advantages of growing up in Detroit is like a lot of the really, really good musicians that played for Motown were also teachers in high schools and elementary schools and stuff. So it just so happened that my music instructor in junior high, a guy by the name of Ernie Rogers, he was actually a baritone sax player in the Motown band. So as one of the students that I guess he saw that were, you know, kind of talented or whatever, he actually took me to a Motown review that he was playing at, and I got to sit backstage. I think I was about 13, 14, sit backstage while Stevie Wonder and Gladys Knight and the Pimps and the Four Tops and the Temptations and Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, while all of these singers were lining up, getting ready to go on stage and performing. So I think that is when I got the bug of the, I think it just permeated, that whole energy just permeated my consciousness, and I knew that there was nothing else that I wanted to do in this life.
And I think you make a good point about putting yourself in the environment and being in the environment with people that you want to emulate and surrounding yourself with successful people. I mean, it just was great happenstance that your teacher brought you, but he saw your talent and your interest, and he brought you into that environment. So sometimes we have a guide or a teacher. I like to say that when the student's ready, the teacher appears, and this was literally your teacher that put you on the path and in the environment. And so, but still, being in that environment and having a teacher believe in you, those are two important things. But then how, you know, what was the first, did you start with smaller bands or, you know, to become a studio musician for, my goodness, 40, 50, 60 people that you've played with, how did that, you know, transpire?
Yeah, well, in my case, it was pretty much through the church. My grandmother, she was really adamant about me learning how to read music at an early age. So so by the time I got to high school and, you know, I was – at 17 years old, I did my first Motown recording session. So I really didn't spend a lot of time in the bars and doing that sort of thing until I got a little bit older and had a family to support, and I was looking for anything to do. the way that I got into the recording industry was like straight out of high school.
Mm-hmm. So you were, it's a lifestyle that's very difficult on a lot of people. It's a lot of traveling. It's hard to put down roots anywhere when you're on the road with a band or a different city every day. And I mean, what were some of the best memories of those years, traveling and touring? Were you mostly in one place and recording in the studios?
Yeah, my career was mostly as a studio musician. When Motown left Detroit, it really, really dried up, you know, for musicians. And, I mean, I was just like hardly barely making a living. And things had gotten so bad there in Detroit. So, you know, I took a job at a hotel. And this is another opportunity, you know, I took a job at a hotel as a backup musician. And at this hotel, people like Soupy Sales, Vic Damone, Carol Lawrence, Robert Goulet, I had an opportunity to play behind these people as a backup musician live. So what that did for me is, like, my reading had gotten so good that by the time I went out to Los Angeles, you know, I became one of the top session bass players out there. It was just mostly word of mouth. You know, it would get around that there's a new guy in town, he plays really well and he reads well, he won't hold the session up and stuff like that, you know. So that's how I actually got into it. But for me, what happened is I was running with some people that were pretty high profile and you know, you read the names, and I'm not going to actually talk about any of the stuff that went on, but I will mention what happened to me personally. I kind of got wrapped up in that Hollywood lifestyle of a hot studio musician and fell into substance abuse. And that is where my story really starts.
And so many Hollywood musicians and celebrities are, you know, find themselves in that. And we've lost so many great talented people, some who tried to recover, some who didn't try, some who just spiraled out of control. But it's very much part of the culture, and I would think that it would be very difficult for anyone to avoid it. It's just part of, you know, being in the crowd, being in the life. It's accepted. It's encouraged. So what was your bottoming experience like? I mean, when did you say, this is it? I'm going to either be dead in jail or in a hospital. I mean, we all reach that point. I've had a lot of people on my show that have, you know, Julia Cameron, who wrote The Artist's Way, is very open about her dark night of the soul, as she calls it, and her years with Martin Scorsese and a lot of drug addiction in that time period of her life. And so what was your dark night of the soul, if you don't mind talking about it a little?
No, I don't mind. Not into any real detail.
No.
On your show, but you know, what happened for me is there were, like, so many dark nights of the soul, and you know, sometimes when you think you've gone as low as you can, you were wrong, and that's what happened to me. I ended up after having this illustrious career. And some major disappointments in my life, you know, where I had, I signed with a record company and put out a record, and I got caught up into some company politics and stuff where the record got squashed, and it was like a really hot record. It was going to do really well. We're going to be millionaires, and all of a sudden, bam, nothing. So, you know, I ended up going back to Detroit with my tail between my legs, and, you know, the substance abuse got even worse at that point with depression and, you know, a number of things. And I distinctly remember being out one night, and I was like, there was crossfire, you know, and some dealers were shooting at each other. And I distinctly remember this walking into the crossfire and thinking, you know, this could be over in a second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I heard And there's a very interesting sound when a bullet passes your head.
Mm.
You know, I don't want to get too into detail and stuff.
So, you know,
the fact is that I welcomed that solution at one point in my life. And the only reason I share that is because as I shared it, there's been so many other people that have come forward and share with me how they have been in that place as well, you know.
Exactly. And I always encourage people to share that stuff because so many people have had very difficult times, and they often think they're the only one. They often think they're the only ones that have contemplated suicide. And I think in all honesty, you know, probably 70% of my friends, I guess, or 80%, you know, at some point in their life, at one time or another, if they're honest, have faced some very serious dark emotions, the shadow side of ourselves. And so through the, you know, except, you know, through the grace of God, you know, that could be any of us. So, you know, in those years, did you feel you had a spiritual way of life, or was that just not on the radar at that point?
No. You know, that was before I had actually gotten into a 12-step program, and I didn't have a God of my understanding. You know, the God that I understood was mad at me, and I wasn't getting my prayers answered. You know, I was getting my intentions answered by the universe, you know, because your intention is to get more stuff, you know. And the universe was supporting me in what my real intention was at that time, but my prayers were not being answered because they were not connected to my core belief and my core thoughts, you know. But what happened for me is that there was always something protecting me for some purpose. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that the reason why I'm here and I've been allowed to continue is to just show people the way back from that.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a way back. There's a way back because that's been many, many years ago, and I just don't have those thoughts anymore.
Mm-hmm. I know. That is fantastic. And so now that you've looked death in the face, you have pulled out of it through support and through a spiritual way of being, now you can be the teacher and provide the hope and guidance for others. And I just think that is a powerful life of significance. And I want to commend you for that because so many people forget to pay it forward or to help others that are coming along. Like they might pull out of their dark night of the soul and then they just sort of stay there and they forget, you know, they could have been dead so many different times. I know I feel that way. I know for a fact, statistically, I should have been dead many, many times. And, you know, I survived a car crash. And actually this month is the anniversary month, which is, you know, makes me think more deeply and be more grateful on a daily basis that I did survive a car crash for a reason, and it's not to play small and to doubt myself or my abilities. It's to play large. It's to help other people. It's to touch as many lives as I can. And so I was really drawn to you when I read on your bio that you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing for the rest of your life, and that is sharing the gift of music. And that is so profound. People are always questioning what is their purpose, what is their meaning, and sometimes it takes something pretty serious to happen in life for us to find what our purpose and meaning is. So tell us a little bit about how you first came upon the Centers for Spiritual Living in Las Vegas and this new spiritual way of living.
Well, I had a band in Southern California for about 13, 14 years, Eddie Watkins Jr. and the Go Big Daddy Band, who had become kind of successful at doing corporate events, weddings, private parties, that sort of thing. And we were extremely successful. But it got to the place like after like 13 years that I was just burnt out, you know. So I had, with my particular skill set, I had all of the skills that it took to be like a musical director of a a Vegas show or something like that, you know. So I was thinking I'd just move to Vegas and see what it's like. I knew a lot of people there, and so I decided to move to Vegas, and by the time I got there, a lot of the showrooms were being bought up, you know, by MGM Grand Corporation. It turned into this nightclub theme sort of deals, you know. So a lot of the work that I went there to get, the locals and the people who had been there and who were established were getting it. So, again, you know, I was just kind of there and didn't know what to do. And the work that I had done for, like, many, many years, I just didn't want to do it anymore. So I was looking for a spiritual community, and I found the First Church of Religious Science of Las Vegas. So it was the closest thing to anything that I believe. I mean, I was looking at other churches and, you know, with the salvation, you know, redemption, hell, you know, and that wasn't really working for me. But I did see the name Ernest Holmes on the First Church of Religious Science website. You know, so I was familiar with that name because I had a book of Ernest called The Practical Application of Science of Mind that I had bought at Agape back in 95 or 96, something like that, you know. So anyway, you know, we went there and I just fell in love with the place, the philosophy, you know, the openness, the oneness, and it just totally changed my life. About 3 months after that, I just got a revelation that this is what your music is for. This is what your past is for. This is why you're here, and this is the place to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Inside of this,
I love that. And you know, I had a very similar story, except it was Denver. You know, except I did not have
that
book.
Yeah.
I did not have the Ernest Holmes book already. So I think that's kind of interesting. You already have that book in your library. So, you know, it's so interesting that this path, you know, unfolds and that you find yourself in the place that you were meant to be. And so you've been a musical director at a couple of different spiritual communities. And and I read that within 6 months of finding the right community that was a perfect fit for you, that you came out with a CD called The Answer. And talk a little bit about that process, about, you know, this incredible uprising, billing over of talent that and spiritual message that was always within you and letting that out, releasing that CD.
Well, you know, ever since I can remember, there's been like a constant flow of music running through my head. Just like always, like a new groove, a new melody, a new something. But now, in hindsight, I realize that I never really had anything to sing about. You know, I mean, okay, love, everybody does love songs, and love is great, and, you know, like human love kind of thing. You know, it's based on how good somebody makes us feel, how pretty they are, whatever. You know, so, but once I got into this philosophy and I began to understand, you know, another kind of love, I could get behind that and I could start writing about it, you know. Now, the first thing that caught me is the God is all there is thing. Well, the God is all there is, I believed so deeply, it shut my mind off. You know, God is all there is. And I'm so lazy, I don't want to study. It's okay, fine, God is all there is. That's so easy, it's easy to remember. And then everything in my life has been reaffirming that one simple truth that I learned when I first walked into the First Church of Religious Science, that God is all there is. All of my songs, like even The Answer, when I was in Las Vegas and I was trying to figure out what to do, God is all there is. So if you're looking for an answer, God is the answer.
I love that. And people try to overcomplicate it, and certainly, unfortunately, a lot of religious institutions have put politics and money and greed and muddled it all up so that so many people have been turned off and turned away by religious institutions that the religion and spirituality are completely different. And
yes.
And having a spirituality that comes from within it can provide so much hope for so many people. We're going to take a short station break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking with Eddie Watkins Jr. and spirituality and finding the music within you and bringing that forth into the world. So we'll be right back. My guest today is Eddie Watkins Jr. live on Alive to Thrive. Thank you for listening, and we'll be right back.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki-infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Frazier on GGM Radio. And now, back to the show.
Hello, and welcome back to Alive to Thrive. My guest today is Eddie Watkins Jr. We've been talking about transformation and finding yourself and following your passion. And Eddie, as we said in the first half of the program, has played on a number of gold and platinum albums, including movie soundtracks, television theme songs, and he made his name as a bass player and a composer and producer. He plays guitar, piano, and he sings, and he's just an all-around nice guy as well as being very talented. So welcome back to the program, Eddie.
Thank you, Brenda.
And we were talking about, being able to shine in a spiritual community, and one of the things you produced was an evening with Eddie Watkins. It's a New Day concert, and I want to encourage my listeners to find that on YouTube. I think I put the link out on Facebook this morning. But talk a little bit about that concert and how you created that, and will you be taking that on the road? Is that going to be performed at other places?
It's a New Day concert. That was done in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And actually, it was a sort of like a farewell concert. I had served there under Kathy Ann Lewis for 3 years. And it was sort of like traditionally I had done a concert every year. But the last year that I was there, right before I left, they were kind enough to allow me to do that concert, and it was absolutely incredible. But the concert that I'm traveling with is called Motown and Miracles.
And talk about the Motown and Miracles concert tour. So you've done, a couple of dozen cities already? I noticed on your website that you have them crossed off, and I thought that was kind of a neat little technique to show the cities you're going to and then cross them off as you do them.
Yeah, the Motown and Miracles concert, the most recent, we just did one at Mile High, as a matter of fact. You know, the thing is like, my concept is this. Within the New Thought community, we have these amazing artists, you know, Karen Drucker, Daniel Namath, Michael Gott, I mean, on and on and on and on. And, however, there is not much that's going outside of the New Thought realm. You know what I mean? What I wanted to do is I wanted to find a way that we could draw a lot of people in, you know. And in that same elk, you know, that Motown R&B elk, introduce New Thought music, but only of a similar sort of rhythm, you know. So that was the concept behind it, and what happened was by promoting it as the Motown and Miracles concert, we were able to draw over 1,400 people into Mile High.
Oh, wow.
And for New Thought, the concerts, we don't usually draw those kind of people, those kind of numbers, you know. So that's what I'm attempting to do is to take this music, and I'm sort of designing the music to be radio-friendly, to be dance-friendly, in order to get this concept and this philosophy out to the world.
I love it. Well, so that is just awesome. And, you know, it's true. I have been going to New Thought for about 9 years, and I have had the honor and pleasure of meeting some of the most amazing authors and singers and talent. And you think, why doesn't anyone know about this? These guys are great. They're amazing. They're talented. I mean, better than anything I've ever seen on the East Coast where I grew up. So what are the cities you're going to next? You're going to Eugene, Oregon. Is that correct?
No, I've already done Eugene. The next Motown and Miracles concert is going to be at Heart and Soul Spiritual Center in Oakland, California.
Okay.
Reverend Andriette Earle. Yeah, Reverend Andriette Earle is the spiritual leader of that community, and they are on fire.
Awesome.
They
What's
are
the
on
date
fire,
of that
and
one?
We are getting yeah, we're getting ready to go there and light that place up with a Motown and Miracles concert, and then after that we're going to Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay, what are the dates of Oakland and Santa Fe?
Okay, let me calendar
Sorry.
Here. So I can
and while you're looking that up, the listeners can go to eddiewatkinsjr.com, and that's eddiewatkinsjr.com, and also find him on Facebook, like his page there. He's on LinkedIn, and he's all over YouTube. He has a channel there, and you can see a lot of his past performances on YouTube. And, you know, it's great that we have the tools like social media to be able to tell our friends and share good things with other people, and that's one of the benefits of something like a Blog Talk Radio, where we can share positive news and positive people. So what do you have those dates yet?
Yes, the Motown and Miracles concert in Oakland is going to be on November 29th.
Okay, November 29th, and then Santa Fe.
And then Santa Fe is going to be on December 6th.
Okay. So you did, what, 20, 30 cities this year?
Yes,
something
about,
like that.
About, well, actually, I was in Canada, too, so let me see. Yeah,
so
probably about 30.
So what do you like best about, you know, being on the road, meeting people? I mean, is it energizing to you to connect with people that are like-minded? It sort of restores your faith in humanity, doesn't it, to see so many good people out there?
Yeah, what it does for me is, you know, I when I took off on this tour, you know, Spirit has interesting ways of communicating with you. I guess it just depends on your openness and how you listen, but the message that I was getting is that, you know, this is healing music and you need to go out and administer it. You can't do that sitting at home you know, behind the desk or whatever. So I knew I had to get out here. So, and to answer your question, the most fulfilling thing to me is when, you know, I had a lady come up to me a couple of weeks ago, and she told me that she suffers from some sort of dysfunction where she can't drive. She can't leave her house. Agoraphobia, is that what you call it, or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she said that she put on my When You Believe CD. She has it in her car playing continuously, and she's been able to drive, you know, and she's been able to overcome her fear. And I said, to me, that sounds like a healing. Another guy told me that one of my songs, The Garden, he actually took the song and he sang it for his mother's memorial.
Wow.
So if something that that's coming through me is affecting people like this, then I'm complete. I am so complete.
That's right.
And I am so fulfilled. And, you know, I'm in heaven right now.
That's right. Heaven's on earth.
Yeah.
And I love that concept. That we make our heaven and we make our hell, and that's for sure. And, you know, just the president was recently talking about manufactured crises, and I thought, you know, that phrase doesn't only apply to Capitol Hill. It applies to people in their everyday lives, how we create our own misery. We create our own dysfunction, and by focusing on what's not working. And when we focus on what is working and we focus on gratitude and giving out our best, it all flows, as you have a song called, flow through me. It flows through each of us and flows out again. And so are you working on any new CD projects?
Well, actually, I am. I have a workshop called I Sing My Prayers. And it's where when I go from city to city, I do this workshop, and people create affirmations. They bring these affirmations to me, and I turn them into chants and melodies that they can sing. So it's been so many of them that I've decided to do a CD of chants that were written by attendees of the workshop for the
last
year.
That's awesome.
Some of the music is absolutely incredible, and some of the ideas and the, you know, the way that different people their affirmations and their truths, it's absolutely wonderful. So the workshop has been an incredible success.
That's so neat, and it just shows all the different ways that you can take your talent and not only perform it, record it on CDs, but then use it as a teaching tool to help people get connected to their affirmations and turning it into chants and prayers and very practical applications. And so you have, what, 4 CDs out now? You have The Answer was the first one you did in 2007 as a solo, and then We Come Together, is that the name of it?
We Come Together was the next one, yes.
And So It Is, I love that
and
title.
So It Is, you know.
And then When You Believe. So those are the 4. That's a lot of work in the last few years. You've been a busy guy. And will you be touring to Europe? Do you want to go overseas and take this message to other countries?
Absolutely. I do. I'm particularly interested in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
This type of music, I think, would really be embraced there. And, you know, this is all kind of new for me because, you know, I've never been on tour alone. I've always been, like, with a band, you know, and I took off in January from Seattle in my truck. And I've been traveling in my truck for 10 months.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's amazing. And a lot of people do it with an RV, and they, you know, they go on the road, and that's the best way to get up close and personal with your audience. One of the things I really want to commend you for and encourage people to get some of your music online is that you've partnered with Half the Sky, and half of the song sales, half of the proceeds goes to this charity. This is one of the organizations that I am blown away, so totally impressed with what they're doing. For those that don't know, a couple of journalists wrote a series of articles that turned into a book, that turned into a documentary about the situation of women in many countries, that they don't, that they have lack of access to education, and that they have challenges with earning their own money and keeping their own money if they do earn it, and things that we just don't know about in this country. We just don't hear
things
about
these
stories.
Things we take for granted, you know.
We take for granted. People complain that they don't have their 20th pair of shoes, or their a certain kind of car. They don't, you know, all these external trappings that are going to go away. I mean, you know, if you want a symbol, just look at the Titanic. Some of the wealthiest people in Europe all lost everything, and they lost their lives. So the money and the things didn't save their lives. I always say that. But this documentary, Half the Sky, aired on PBS. And how did you come across the movement and the nonprofit organization called Half the Sky?
Yeah, actually PBS for me as well. And
okay.
When the opportunity came up with Reverb Nation to pick a charity, and I saw it, I just said, oh, well, of course.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's,
Reverb
that's
Nation cool. encourages musicians to partner with a charity of choice?
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. So perhaps you can take a tour, you know, go to Africa or one of the countries where some of these stories have profiled the women, and maybe do a benefit concert. Have you thought of that?
No, I haven't thought of it, but I'm thinking about it now.
Well, maybe we should talk. Miracles
yeah.
for Half the Sky. I like it. It has a ring to it. And so you're living your passion, which certainly, you know, it you can sleep at night. And so, but what are the challenges of being a solo artist on the road? I mean, it's not easy to be doing it all. As I mean, you have the creative freedom for sure, and you don't have the politics of the industry from L.A. and all that grief. But what are the challenges, and how do you stay, how do you keep your batteries recharged?
Oh, well, that's a really good question. And, you know, I wouldn't have had an answer for you 10 months ago. But now I actually do, you know, when I left Seattle, I left a really, really good job, and I had an incredible boss, you know, amazing environment to get in my truck. It's a 2002 Ford Explorer, and it didn't have heat, and I left in December.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So once, and I figured it'd be fine because it never got that cold in Seattle, but once I got up into the mountains of California where it dropped below zero and I didn't have heat in my truck and I couldn't afford to fix it because, oh, I don't have a job now. So the thing is like, what you're doing, you know, what I'm doing is a ministry, you know, and I had kept it in my mind always that, you know, I work for God so I never have to be broke. I work for God so I never have to be uncomfortable. That's a lie. You know, I should be treated like royalty because I work for God, you know. And I kept that in my mind. And then all of a sudden things started changing. You know, people started giving me money, sending me money, supporting the tour. I mean, just you name it, it's like been incredible. So it's the invisible stuff, you know, that keeps me going like this. I mean, it's just, this tour is anointed and supported by the universe.
And good shows up.
It just shows up everywhere.
And good shows up.
Yeah.
And so what's your message, say, to someone who feels stuck, who is struggling, who may not have a talent that's so profound as your talent has been, you know, to take that leap of faith and break the cycle of whatever cycle or pattern they're stuck in?
Well, you know, the only thing that I could suggest to anybody, you know, fortunately for me, the thing that I loved, I maybe brought it in from another, I don't know, but I would encourage anybody that the thing that you love may not be the thing that earns you money right now,
mm-hmm.
but the thing that you love, if you honor it and you do it, all sorts of opportunities will come, opportunities that you can't see right now, you know. But I truly believe that once you set your intention and you concentrate on something and you make it part of your consciousness, then the universe behind your back will conspire to bring you every element that you need to make that dream come true. I truly mm-hmm. do believe that. Anything is possible when you believe.
Mm-hmm. I do believe that as well. The universe does conspire. And the other concept to talk about a little bit is that, you know, so many people hold on to what's not working, and because they're afraid of the vacuum or the space that would be created if they let go of the thing that's not working. But mm-hmm. once that vacuum is created, then the universe can rush in and fill it with something good. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yes, I can. In my own situation, you know, one of the most difficult things sometimes are relationships. And, you know, one thing that I discovered is that inside of a relationship, and when I came into religious science, I really saw this because I saw different kind of relationships, you know, between men and women, men, women. And the thing that I noticed is that inside of a relationship, the spiritual component, after all of the other stuff is said and done, that spiritual component in being equally yoked is the thing that allows you to expand that relationship into something else that's just greater than the both of you,
mm.
you know. So that is one of the things that has happened to me on this tour as well. You know, so there's been many gifts for me. Gosh.
And so for couples that don't have that spiritual yokes, maybe one has grown and developed spiritually and one hasn't, sticking it out, I mean, hang in there. What do you say to those couples that you meet along the way on your journey?
Well, you know, I think that every relationship is significant, you know, because, you know, it's an opportunity to see which you shows up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember quite a while back I was watching Chris Rock on one of his things, you know, and he was talking about most of the time when you meet people, you're not really meeting them, you're meeting their representative. And, you know, I kind of find that to be true, too, you know. But it's something about, you know, the spiritual principles. And you know, I'm not talking about any particular religion, but I just do mean like a way of thinking, a core belief in God, you know, stuff like that, a core belief in goodness and health and those sort of things. And when you find yourself having so many things that are that you're not equally yoked, then it's, in my experience, it's very difficult to grow as a unit.
Hmm.
Am I making sense?
Totally. I'm just, it's very thought-provoking. And here I was thinking we were going to talk about music. Yes, and I think that's what happens when people are spiritually awakened and they're evolving and they're connecting to, you know, an inside God and an outside spiritual expression. These deeper questions, you know, are revealed and discussed, and it's just, I think it's so amazing to be able to be one whole complete person. Whereas, like, I know in my former life, I don't know about your former life, but my former life, I had various as Chris Rock said, the representative. I had all these different representatives based on the environment I was in. I didn't have just one, and now I feel like they've all joined together, and there's just one Brenda Fraser, you know. So, and there's just one Eddie Watkins Jr. for sure. So,
yeah.
Any closing thoughts, Eddie? This has been a very interesting interview, and we really want to encourage people to get your music, help support Health the Sky, a wonderful organization, and they can go to Reverb Nation. Is that correct to find your music?
Yes, Reverb Nation. And iTunes or CD Baby, but Reverb Nation, I would encourage people to go to Reverb Nation and purchase my music because half of that, the proceeds from my music does go to Half the Sky. So
that's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I would encourage people to do that. And as far as anything that I would have to say to people, you know, regarding anything is that, you know, whoever you are, you know, knowing your magnificence, your own magnificence, is paramount in anything you want to accomplish, because anything that you want to do is possible if you truly, truly, and deep in your heart believe.
Well, that's just a great way to wrap up. And check his music out online and follow him on Facebook, Eddie Watkins Jr. Thank you so much. It's been an honor and a pleasure. And we're going to close with your song, When You Believe, and play the full duration of it. So thanks again, and we'll be back next week on Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser, 12 noon Central. Please follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/AliveToThrive. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
questions, I'm believing in you. Smile on my face, catch my set, the mood, the rest is true. Fixing you for the things in life you do. Pick and choose in the game to win or lose. Only traveling the one way, that's up. People always say to me, give up. I never had enough in the belief where I can feel all the people feeling me. What I gotta say, what I gotta pray, believing and living this life every single way. Got a bunch of game, but it's not a sweepstakes. Got a bunch of love versus money in the bank. Anything is possible when obstacle jumps, the highest obstacle. Unexpected audible or fox trot, hopscotch, place your